and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast about two friends on their respective IVF treatment in real time at the same time.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things to do with the fertility journey, sharing each step as it happens, from the highs to the lows and everything in between. Are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for coming round.
No worries. 2.5 hours later.
We've had a nightmare today, haven't we?
Yeah, we've been trying to get the our set up and it worked fine last time. But
yeah, we don't know how. But yeah. Last time we managed to get two mics recording plugged into one laptop. Today, nah.
Not happening.
So we are huddled round one microphone again.
It's actually quite festive.
It's quite, yeah, like we're huddling by a fire.
Yeah, and you've got your festive jumper on.
Yeah, you look like you're from A Christmas Carol. In a nice way.
I do, I look a bit Dickensian.
I said you look Dickensian.
Yeah.
Sian's got a lovely, like, navy blue jumper with a Peter Pan collar.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it? Yeah,
that's what they call it.
A Peter Pan collar. And when I say you look like you're from A Christmas Carol, I don't mean, like, the ghost of Jacob Marley.
I was going to say, with all the chains.
No, you are the beautiful girl that young Scrooge wants to marry.
Oh, Belle.
Belle.
Who breaks off the engagement. What does she say? She says something like, I release you.
Oh.
That is like the nicest way to break up an engagement, I feel.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've never been broken up with and someone says,
I release you.
I release you to the wild. Okay.
Well, you look lovely with your white
jumper. Ordered two sizes, didn't I?
Yeah.
Whilst Carl was trying to figure out the podcast, the microphone sitch, we were trying on ASOS jumpers.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that size. No, I think that size. So I've got a fluffy white jumper on.
It's so nice.
And what else do we have?
Oh, yeah. We have our non-alcoholic Prosecco.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh. Do that again, yeah. Just for the...
Okay.
Yeah. For the ASMR.
ASMR lovers out there. And we've got some celebrations, which I am gradually munching all the way through.
And why is that, Sian? Why have we got these lovely treats? Because
it's
Christmas! Yeah. It's Christmas, and we thought we'd do a little Christmas ep.
Yeah, our festive season has begun.
Yeah, we are on the fake Prosecco today. I did have a glass of real Prosecco last night.
And I think... fair enough.
We've not started treatment,
no.
So.
I think as long as we're careful, we can have.
Everyone says you can have a little bit of what you fancy.
And I think, I really do believe in that, because of the amount of things that I've been told. I mean, I've been told I'll go into it later, but I've been told I'm only allowed to really run 2 kilometres now.
Really?
Yeah. It's something about like the chi.
Two. Oh, chi. Okay.
Yeah, we're going there.
We'll come to that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, someone's always going to tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And a little bit.
80-20, right?
80-20.
And then January, dry.
Dry?
Dry, dry, dry. Yeah. I'd say at the moment I'm averaging 1 glass of wine a week. Or
that's
one glass
good.
Of Prosecco.
That's good.
I think that's really good.
It is. I definitely think I've averaged more than that.
Well, no, it probably averages out, doesn't it? Because you have more 1 week, less the next week.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend's been very dry. But...
dry.
Like the Sahara Desert.
But this is really nice fake Prosecco. It's a naughty rosé.
Yeah,
Thompson and Scott.
Yeah, Thompson and Scott. It's actually really... I think this is my favourite non-alcoholic.
It's nice. I like it. Fresnay. Freaksnet.
Frigenet.
Frigenet.
However you pronounce it.
It's really nice, the non-alcoholic. But nothing is, it's not wine, is it? But got to do what we've got to do.
Yeah.
So it is Christmas and we thought we'd have a little Christmas roundup. But first, I think we should have a little weekly catch up.
Yeah, you go first. How's your week been? It's actually, can I just say more than a week?
It has.
And I mean, we're sorry to all our listeners out there.
Sorry, all the listeners. Sorry, Mum. I don't think my mum listens anymore.
I don't think mine does either.
So who are we saying sorry to?
Well, you know, God, yeah, how, yeah, you're right.
No, there are, we've got lovely, kind people that are like, oh, when are you doing another episode? And our lives have just been a bit mad, haven't they? We've both been so busy with work stuff. I've actually not been busy with IVF stuff. So should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
So yeah, it's been a few weeks. Obviously, we speak every day.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because we're IVF BFFs.
Exactly.
But we speak every day, but we haven't been able to get together and do an episode or anything because my work has been crazy. I run a theatre school for children, which is the best job in the world. It's amazing. And they've just had their end of term shows. So the last few weeks has been end of term madness, sorting costumes, booking venues. We had a Christmas choir. They sang, they did a concert in a different venue as well last week. So a lot going on. But I do feel like we've had a little break from the IVF stuff, kind of, because we haven't had an appointment in a hospital for about almost 2 months, since October, since the 22nd of October was the last time we had an actual appointment.
Wow.
So it's been a really nice little breather. I feel a lot more like my normal self.
That's good.
It's going to be stamped out of me soon. Don't worry.
Yeah. Although you did have a call though, didn't you?
Yes, we did have, yeah, we had a telephone appointment. So that's the one bit of news, I suppose, that I've got IVF wise is we were waiting on some blood test results for Carl. As you'll know, if you've listened to our other episodes, we have a male factor problem. So the issue identified is with sperm. And so there's no real reason as to why Carl's sperm is low, but they were doing more tests to investigate possible causes. And one possible cause is chromosomal abnormalities in the DNA of the sperm.
Which is, it sounds really scary.
It does, because like they were like, oh, we're going to test to see if you're a carrier for cystic fibrosis. At which point in our meeting, Carl just went, have I got cystic fibrosis? And I went, no, you don't. Which is, but when you hear it, it's like, ugh. But checking that he's not a carrier for certain genetic conditions that we could end up passing on to an embryo and then hopefully a child. But the good news is everything came back like completely clear for all the genetic stuff they were testing. So
woo-hoo! Let's just take a moment to celebrate that.
Cheers.
Yay! Woo! We're going to hear this a lot.
There you go.
That is so good though, because I know that, you know, you were kind of saying that a lot of the tests, when you've had these tests, there's always been something.
Always been something. And I was like, oh God, we're going to have something else to deal with. I just didn't want another thing to have to deal with. And also for Carl, he just like kept saying, I'm healthy, I'm healthy. I'm like, well, yes, we know you're healthy, but I know what he means. He was like over the moon that he got a test result back, that there weren't any issues. Because every time so far he sat down and they've been like, yeah, this isn't great, this isn't great. They did a scan, they found something. They just keep finding things. So he was like, oh my God, everything's fine. So that was good. I've been doing more acupuncture. I think I'm addicted. It's lovely. I just, especially when I've been really frazzled at like with work stuff, I'm like, oh, I just go to my acupuncturist's house, lay on a bed and someone stick pins in me and put a warm lamp on my feet. It's delightful. My acupuncturist also has just moved her practice to her house. She lives kind of in the middle of the countryside. Really beautiful setting. She's got a beautiful new kind of clinic, like practice treatment room, I suppose, with like beautiful glass water ceiling to floor, like glass walls, and so you look out onto fields. It's just so tranquil.
So it's like a spa, really.
It is a bit. I'm really loving my acupuncture, and yeah, so I'm doing that. And then, oh, I've nearly ordered my meds. Oh, yes. I have to do it. Couldn't find the piece of paper that I wrote down the email on. And part of me was like, I don't think I'm looking very hard for this piece of paper because I don't want to face it. I don't want to look at it. But I emailed the clinic Friday night, ACU, assisted conception unit, and they emailed me back and they were like, hi Catherine, they're so great, they're so lovely. And they were like, here's the email, your prescription is like all done for you, you just need to email to order it in.
Yeah.
So I've got the email and I will do it. It's getting to crunch time and I'm like, you know what, Christmas is coming up. I don't want any delays, but for so long I've been like, can I just have a little bit longer not thinking about it?
Yeah, I know, I get that.
But that's me, really. What about you?
I had my last period, natural period, just maybe slightly over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me like a ton of bricks. It's just like, the, you know, it just felt very significant, didn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, right, well, that's the end of that then. Mm. So we are definitely doing it. And yeah, just started taking the pill. And I hate taking the pill.
Oh, God, I think I feel really lucky that they've not put me on that.
Yeah, it's rubbish. I just feel a bit kind of unhinged.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, I feel more bloated. Like, I'm feeling like, not kind of in my body and just slightly more uncomfortable than I used to perhaps feel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a nice feeling, is it? Especially when you're going into Christmas, where we're slightly going to be overindulging with food, probably more so because we're not we're off it. But it's fine. Like it's not fine, but it's fine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I felt really lucky because I'd heard about people going on the pill to what they call down regulate, which if you don't know, it's where they kind of put everything to sleep in terms of your ovaries and they make sure you don't ovulate. And I was like, oh God, I don't think I'd cope very well. The pill was fine. I was on the pill for 15 years without a break.
Me too.
Good old microgynon. Basic pill.
Well, I'm on that one, but I never used to be on that one. I was on a different one.
And bear in mind, 15 years ago, we didn't know much. We didn't really get told much about it. It's like, just go on the pill. And it was when I was like 17, 18. And I remember flip switching and becoming more emotional overnight. And like now I go, oh my God. And there were loads of instances like at my school where I just get really, and I got known as at school as being like the emotional one. And that kind of carried through with me through like drama school and stuff. But now I'm like, because at the time I was like, oh, I'm just, going through a teenage girl, young woman. But now I'm like, was that the pill?
Well, I know. I mean, I have to say, I'm the same. I'm always the first to cry.
Mm. I'm still highly emotional. But
but I'm finding that I'm a lot more, maybe, I think I just feel a bit more unhinged. Like I can yo-yo between the emotions a lot more. But look, I know they say that the pill is completely safe. There is no evidence to suggest that being on the pill for a long time has any effect on fertility.
No, and I said that before, didn't I? When I said that I blamed that a lot of the time when we found it wasn't working, we weren't getting pregnant. I was like, well, it must be that. And then it turns out, touch wood, everything my side is fine.
Yeah.
And my cycles came back really quickly. Not the case for everybody.
No.
But we should dispel that myth.
Yes.
That the pill causes any long-term harm.
Absolutely.
Because it's not the case.
No.
It does make you feel a bit weird.
It does make you feel weird. Andrew said something really funny. He said, oh, I think this is a good thing because it's like a reset button, right? It's like you're turning it all off and then we turn it back on. It's like a computer. I'm like,
brilliant.
No.
To be fair, that's what I do with computers.
Always.
Turn it off. Printer as well. Turn it off. Turn it on again.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And then also started acupuncture.
Lovely.
Which is good. I am enjoying it. I think, well, I only had the one session, to be fair, and it was a good session. Very different to the last acupuncturist I had. The person I'm with now, he is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot more kind of logical, I would say. Not quite so, oh my gosh, I'm going to say I'm really sorry, everyone, but woo-woo.
Yeah.
Like the last acupuncturist was like, "Oh, you're fire," you know. Whereas this, you know, this guy,
you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what that means. But this guy is just a lot more kind of, right, this is how I can help you.
Yeah.
But one thing I do really appreciate is he actually said, "I actually cannot help you because you are on the pill. So do not give me your money," which I am like, thank you, because, you know, money's a bit scarce. And instead they're working on Andrew.
That's really good.
So it was really funny though, because Andrew arrived early to the acupuncture and I was lying on the bed with pins, with the lamp, hot lamp on my feet, hot lamp on my belly, which is lovely.
So nice, isn't it? Especially in December. You're like, ooh.
So nice. And he walks in. Sitting there and it's all fine, it's not like awkward, but and then I sort of after my session go, right, I'm off now, I'll see you in a bit. And both of them, you know, the acupuncturist and Andrew, like, well, you might as well just stay. So I kind of like watched, you know, the acupuncturist work on Andrew, and he's lying there on the bed, and I think I could really take some photos of him with all these needles. He honestly was covered in pins.
Really?
And I was like, oh, I could really do it. Some great photo opportunities here. And then afterwards I said to him, look, I nearly did photos, but hey, I'm being kind, I didn't do it. And he went, oh, sorry, I actually did take photos of you.
That's so harsh.
I was like, thanks. So yeah, some very unflattering photos.
It's not really fair, is it?
No.
Anyway, so, okay, so we're speeding towards January, mm-hmm. where it all kicks off. It's all kicked off for you already. But
I'm literally started.
You're technically, you're doing treatment.
Yep. It's
the start of your treatment plan.
Yep.
But before then, we got to get through Christmas.
Yeah.
It's the 16th, is it? It's the 16th of December today.
Yep.
And yeah, we thought it was a good opportunity to talk a little bit about Christmas, because it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it can be really, really hard for a lot of people for a lot of reasons, but especially when you're in our boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think, I think the thing that I've definitely been thinking about over Christmas is it's the interactions.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, even if you're not in the interaction, it's watching the interaction. Sort of families, you know, with, I don't know, for example, I went for a run yesterday, and my 2 kilometer run, and there was a family putting baubles on a tree and then taking photos.
Yeah.
And I just was watching it going, ow.
Oh, it's so visual. It's like a real visual reminder, isn't it?
Yeah.
First of all, do you like, are you a Christmas person? Do you like Christmas?
Yes. I have loved Christmas. I love Christmas. I have really great memories of Christmas. Growing up, my family were amazing with Christmas. Absolutely loved it. Me and Andrew have great Christmases together. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, I absolutely love Christmas. Historically, I've always been a Christmas person. Love it. It's my favourite time of year. I love the lights, I love the trees, I love the music, I love the adverts. I've been known to sit on YouTube and watch all the John Lewis adverts through all the years, and like, you know, the one with the penguin.
I like that one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Just everything. I know everyone else, other people might say, oh, it's consumerism, blah blah blah, but I'm like, nah, I love it. I love the movies. I'm a big Christmas fan.
But how do you find it now?
Yeah, I was going to say, it changes, doesn't it? I still love it, don't get me wrong. I've been known to get really upset on Boxing Day.
Oh!
Like, especially more so when I was a kid, I'd be like, it's all over now.
Mm.
And I'm like, I have to wait a whole other year, but, you know. But it does change, doesn't it? Still love it, but, yeah, before TTC and after TTC. And actually, last year was the first year, obviously that was the first year that we had been trying. We'd only, I say only, inverted commas, only been trying for about 6 months. So at that point, we weren't, well, I was kind of thinking, what's wrong with us? But it was to everybody else, to Carl, to the outside world, it's like, look, it's not been, it wasn't like, you know, we weren't in the depths of it. and it wasn't at the stage where we were like, oh, I didn't feel very triggered by things that I maybe do get a bit more upset about now. Mm. So it was all right. But I remember waking up on Christmas Day and I do my temperature tracking for my cycle tracking. And when your temperature drops, it means your period's on the way. So it had been high for a long time. It had been that luteal phase. And we have a different relationship with that, with the luteal phase now. I don't expect anything now. But I was like, oh, could we, you know, I packed the tests in my bag because I love tests. And then on Christmas morning, I woke up, my temperature had dropped. You do the temperature, and I looked at it straight away and I was like, oh, I was like, that's a sign. And that normally, and I think my period arrived on Boxing Day. And so like, that was the first year where I was probably in a bit of a pissy mood. For some of it at least. So apologies guys if I was like, to Carl's family who we were with, if I was like a little bit, I don't know, I was just like, I had that picture in my head of like, Christmas is coming up, we're gonna have news, we're gonna be able to go to our families at Christmas and be like, and give them good news for Christmas. And then I was like, oh, we're not anymore. And that was the first time that I was down about it, and that was the first Christmas that I started to sort of notice all the other families on Christmas Eve in matching pajamas and all the visual kind of also last year was the first year that I noticed people announce pregnancies at Christmas.
That's a new thing, I feel.
Yeah, because like, it's not like everyone is just getting to like to that point in their pregnancy where people normally announce at Christmas, because that'd be a massive coincidence. I think people do wait for the Christmas aesthetic to be able to stand in front of a tree with a bump.
Or
do you see that?
Or put the scan photo around baubles or something.
Put it on the tree.
Yeah. Oh no. Or put it like almost like they open up a present and inside's the scan.
Yeah, it seems to be a Christmas thing now. I'm like, guys.
I really don't like it.
Wow.
I'm so sorry to say. I just think it's just so contrived and so...
It's very Insta, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very Instagram perfect. And we know that it's not always like that, you know. But I noticed that last year as well. And I was like, and then I remember New Year. I remember saying, 2024, this is going to be our year. This is our year. And it was in lots of ways, and lots of other ways. Of course, I'm not making out we've had a rubbish year. We haven't at all. But was it our year for babies? I'm now like, oh,
yeah.
It wasn't our year. And I'm going into 2025 doing the same. I'm going, this is 2025 is our year. This is our year. I'm like, oh God, the pressure. Mm. How do you feel? How did you feel last Christmas? Was it your first Christmas of TTC or was that your second?
I think properly TTC.
Okay.
We were like in the midst of it, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely felt quite low, but we carried on, you know. And kind of like, I think I just tried to lose myself in festivities and having fun and being merry and, you know, seeing friends. And I remember feeling, and I think even... I think some friends even said to me, oh, you'll be pregnant next year, or, you know, this will be you next year. And I remember being like, yes, I will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you really believe it.
Yeah. And at the time, I remember being like, you're right, so I'm going to make the most of this Christmas. But, I mean, I still found Christmas and New Year's really hard last year. I think I mentioned it before. That was the impetus for us to go and book a doctor's appointment. But... because I was like, I can't carry on like this.
Thank God you did.
Oh my God, I wouldn't be, we would not be here now.
Yeah.
If not. But I do, I'm going to be a Scrooge. That's why I'm in this Dickensian outfit. I don't feel festive this year.
Bar humbug.
Bar humbug to Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Nah.
But we have both just finished, because you've just finished a term at work.
Yeah.
At your school.
Yep.
We're both feeling a bit burnt out. Now, I think that's quite common for Christmas as well.
Mm.
It's very common, I think, for people to just be like running themselves into the ground, before everything stops and we can eat cheese all day.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think also, I feel like Christmas has such a pressure on it.
Yeah.
It's like we've got to be on our best form. We've got to be smiley. We've
you've got to go out.
You've got to be, go out and see as many friends as possible before
Be
Christmas.
Sociable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think actually, you know what? Everyone out there, you don't have to do it. You really don't. And I kind of have squirreled away a little bit. We have, you know, having said that, we have gone out. We have seen friends and we have done that. But I found it really hard. Like, I found Christmas get-togethers quite difficult this year.
I think it's just another layer of exhaustion, because I feel like the thing about the position we're in, especially going into IVF in the new year and the tests and everything leading up to it, the thing that I really didn't expect was the exhaustion. And like, it's a lot of emotional exhaustion, a lot of mental, you know, physical. I felt exhausted for a long time. And then when you add into that going to a Christmas party, I do love a Christmas party. So
yeah,
don't not invite me, because I still want to come.
I think that's important. I think that is important.
Yeah, we don't want to be left out. But sometimes it's, and we do it. We all do it. We all, you know, put on the nice dress or the outfit and we go out and stuff. But it can add another layer to the exhaustion, and it's like something else that we have to, because we're probably there like putting on a bit of a mask.
Well, we are. And the thing is, it's quite funny, isn't it? Because in the same vein, when people, I think some people have sort of said, oh, Catherine's going to top us up with a bit.
Do you want a little top up?
Yes, please. This is so funny.
We left this, see, this is ASMR again. Ready?
Okay.
Oh
no, don't, because where's yours?
Oh, it's all in the ice. I left the fake Prosecco in the freezer for about an hour by accident, and then it exploded in the kitchen, so that was fun.
it did go everywhere.
But now it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, carry on.
I was going to say as well, I guess from other people who don't know what we're going through, they're probably sitting back and probably thinking, hang on, you are going through IVF. You're ready to go in January. Yeah. Surely you should just be like,
it's exciting.
Oh my God, please stop. Because nobody wants to do this. No one wants to actually put ourselves through it. And also the other thing I do really want to point out as well is to all the people who have gone through IVF or who are currently going through it around Christmas or at any time, and perhaps it hasn't worked. And
that's, I think, hard.
Yeah, and I don't think that's called out enough, because there'll be a lot of people going, oh my God, it hasn't worked and it's Christmas. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is hard, isn't it? It's, yeah, God. I didn't even consider that, but that's a whole other side of the coin. How do you, because I feel quite lucky that we're keeping it together and we are having quite a nice Christmassy time, and yeah, we've got something big and quite scary coming up, but at the moment we've got no reason to not be optimistic.
Yeah.
And not, we've got no reason to, we're not having a totally shitty time, and a lot of people will be. And they're having to go to their families' houses, go to their Christmas parties. Yeah. And like, or not. I hope those people are just like at home in their pajamas if they want to be.
Totally. Out in front of the sofa, eating as much chocolate as they like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the Christmas gatherings, come Christmas family gatherings.
Yeah.
Which can be a bit awkward, can't they?
Yeah.
You get a lot of chat of, oh, you know, when are you having kids?
Yeah.
Like, aunties and uncles love to just make it small talk. I think it's a generational thing. By the way, I'm not talking about my aunties and uncles.
No, and nor mine, actually.
Like,
yeah.
Sorry if you listen.
And it doesn't have to be aunties and uncles. It could just be family, friends, or...
It's often people on the kind of extremities of your family.
Yeah.
And on the peripheral that don't maybe know, because people that know our situation, like if they ask us, they're not going to ask us, when are you guys having kids? Because we'll be like, we don't know. Hopefully, well, my egg collection might be on this day and then my transfer might be on this day. Do you know what I mean? Like, they all know.
Yeah.
But it's the people on the edge that make it small talk, don't they?
Yeah. And also they go, oh, you're at an age now, you've been married a while.
Oh, you've been married for X amount, which is stupid because people, you don't have to be married. But again, probably a generational thing. Carl and I have that because we've been married for 6.5 years.
Yeah.
And we've been together for 9.5 years.
Yeah. So I got it more that, oh, you're 35, you probably need to start.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah, yeah, the 35 thing.
Oh, can we please? Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do want to point out that egg collection is about 2 days. 3 days before my birthday.
There you go.
So technically, I'm still in the 35 category, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 35-year-old eggs. I love it. I don't think your eggs are like counting it off on a calendar.
No.
They're not there with a Colin the Caterpillar cake.
No, but like, in my head.
Happy birthday to us.
Though in my head.
We're 36 now.
Because I think Andrew's, because also we're doing like house stuff, but that's really boring. But in our heads, we're like, well, we don't have to do it all at the same time. But I'm just so glad that we are, in a way. Because in my head, I'm like, it's 35. I'm actually, no, they're 35-year-old eggs, guys. Even if it's by a few days.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
So you're at a family party.
Okay.
And Uncle Gavin comes up to you.
Okay, come on then. Let's get some role play in here, okay, shall we?
Because I'm just thinking, let's give people maybe some suggestions of what to say.
Okay.
To respond. Where's Uncle Gavin from? Shall I?
Okay.
I think he's from up north.
Up north, yeah. Uncle Gavin.
Oh, Sean, when are you having a baby?
Okay, well, this is one possible option.
Okay, what do you say?
Okay, one option is, oh, hi, Uncle Gavin. Thanks so much for checking in. let me tell you about my fertility health, actually. Interesting you should say that.
Yeah.
But we're about to do IVF. Do you know about IVF? Do you know about that?
No, I don't really.
Should I tell you all about it, actually? What they do is they inject me every day.
Oh, do you want a mince pie? That's what he'll probably say.
And do you know what? That works.
It works. It makes them not want to talk about it.
Yeah, he'll be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, and he'll be like, oh no, where's the buffet?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think that works really well. And by the way, I've done this once at a hairdresser's.
Oh yeah.
Where the hairdresser, like, obviously great news. I feel like I always have to caveat that.
Great news. Great news, the hairdresser's pregnant.
Yes, and I was like, oh, of course she is. Yeah. And then obviously she had to caveat that with, and it was a surprise. I'm like, cool.
Yeah, of course it was.
Of course it was. And then she said, oh, what about you? And I just told her.
As if she asked that. That is mad, but you just told her.
I just told her. Mm-hmm. I just said, we're actually going through IVF soon because I'm, you know, things aren't going great in that regard, to be quite honest. And she felt uncomfortable. And I thought, well, if you're going to ask me.
If you're going to ask the question, you've got to be prepared for the answer.
Be prepared for the truth.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. And that does take a lot of working up to. We're lucky that we have told, like, the internet on a podcast. So maybe we're more like practiced in saying it and talking about. I found it a lot easier since telling people about our situation, because then hopefully they ask questions and it feels maybe productive. Maybe I've helped to inform them about something, but it does take. It's not for everyone, right? And it's not for every situation.
No, and I do get, especially in the sort of early, not even then, there's a lot of people who do IVF and won't tell people. And I totally understand, it's deeply personal. But I think that it does, to have people around you know, it kind of helps because it explains why you're behaving the way you're behaving.
Yeah, or maybe if certain people know, then maybe if like you're at a family thing and your sister knows about it and she knows to swoop in whenever Uncle Gavin, I don't have an uncle called Gavin, by the way. Whenever Uncle Gavin is around, she knows to kind of cut in and be like, oh, more mince pies, guys. Or like, do you want a drink? Or so it might, that's why it's good to have someone on your side.
Yeah. What if you've got Aunt Ethel?
Are you my Auntie Ethel?
I'm going to be Aunt Ethel. And you do a different.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm going to be 80.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm going to be 80 years old. And yes, and I've just been eating some parsnips.
You're really building the character.
Got to think of everything.
Okay.
Okay, and then let's see how you swerve me.
Okay, hi, Auntie Ethel. How are you?
Oh, hello there, Catherine.
I've just had some lovely parsnips here.
Oh, you like them, don't you?
I do. Just speaking of parsnips, and I don't know, the soil must have been very fertile when these parsnips were planted. How are you and Carl getting on? You know, oh, you know, I'm 80 now and would love to see a little one.
Oh, well, you know what, Auntie Ethel? We would love that. We would really love that. We just haven't been so fortunate yet.
Oh. Really good answer.
Oh, well, I started saying that to some people. I just started to go, you know what, we would absolutely love to, but we haven't been the lucky ones yet. Sometimes I go, look, harder than it looks. It's harder than it looks.
That's a good one.
Or it's not as easy as they make out in the films. But again, that is if you're okay with giving an indication of a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to.
Yeah.
So
what could you say to those who perhaps don't want to indicate a struggle at all? God, what would we say?
God, it's so hard. It's why people shouldn't ask. Yeah. Well, like, if this is cheeky.
Go on.
But say if Auntie Ethel's a bit younger.
Okay, let's
make her like 50.
Okay, I'll make her 50. Oh, hello there, Catherine. How are you doing?
Yeah, fine, Auntie Ethel. How are your parsnips?
Yeah, they're really delicious. I wonder what soil these parsnips are from. Oh, speaking of soil, I just wondered, how are you getting... Oh, I don't know why. Anyway, how are you and Carl getting on? Any little sprogs coming? What?
That's so funny, Auntie Ethel, because I was just going to ask you, actually, how the menopause is. How's your menopause? Is it all right? HRT yet?
Yeah, I'm taking the treatment. Yeah. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
So that's one way to go, but it's a bit cheeky.
It is, isn't it?
It's a bit cheeky, but it's why people should not ask those questions. It's like, or if and when there's news, I'm sure we'll tell you about it.
Do you know what?
When there's something to tell you, we'll tell you.
Do you know what? That's quite good.
And until then, shut up.
Yeah. Or you can always lie and just go, actually work's just been crazy busy at the moment. Or you could even just say, we're really happy with ourselves, but yeah, I'm sure on the
this
horizon.
This is where a pet comes in handy, because I go, well, he's right here. He's the baby dog. He is my baby. And most people do accept that. Look at him right now.
He's so cute.
He's a little sleeping angel. I'm going to take a picture of him, obviously, and put it on the Instagram. Yeah. But keep talking.
I have to ask this question when... No, I want to bring up when you were talking about, it made me laugh, when you said that other people would talk about, like, maybe their babies or something, and then you'd bring up Sweep.
Oh my God, yeah. I just got really annoyed with, like, everyone being like, oh, well, my two-year-old does this, and mine does that, and I'm like, yeah, my dog does this, and it's so funny, and they're like, what? But I'm like, well, I can't relate, guys. That's the only way I can relate to you.
But that's a really... That's, do you know what you've just said hits the nail on the head? We can't relate. Yeah. So when, you know, that's why when you're at like a Christmas party or get together and you kind of step back and you maybe are a bit removed, that's the reason. It's because you cannot relate or input or give anything to that conversation. So you kind of just sit there, stand there like, you know, a lemon. Like,
when they're talking about, like, especially Christmas, because it's obviously, it is so child-centred. Yeah. When they're talking about... Elves on shelves, Father Christmas, Lapland, all of this stuff, like going to visit Father Christmas, all these Christmas family traditions, that's when it's hard because it's like, we'd love that. We'd love to be doing that. But guess what? They don't let the dog in to Lapland UK. So, well, they might do, I don't know. But like, there are certain things that, you know, we can't do without kids. We have our own traditions. We are building those traditions. But it's that sort of thing. Like, we'd absolutely love that. And then when people are swapping stories and being like, and you know, you can feel a bit on the outside and a bit like,
But okay. Also, I guess, like, you know, don't think we can, you know, I want people to be able to talk about those things. It's just, what can you do, eh? We're just in a really difficult situation.
I feel like we're in such limbo.
Yeah.
We're neither parents nor child free.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I don't consider myself child-free, but childless is very heavy. And for all intents and purposes, again, I might be really naive, but I'm like, well, I believe that I will be a parent at some point. Mm. I don't know how long it'll take. I don't know when. I don't know the specifics. But yeah, it feels like we're in between living without children and parenthood. Yeah. And we can't, it's really hard to find a midway point of how to live day to day when we're always like waiting for something.
I think that's it, because I guess it's like, well, why is this consuming you? There's plenty of other things to focus on at Christmas. But actually, that's exactly it, that we're in a limbo.
Yeah.
We're neither here nor there, and it's quite hard to exist in limbos.
It is. It's hard on the everyday. It is. But I would say on that point, and maybe people who are in our situation do this, but Carl and I are very adamant on creating our own traditions already. Already we go to the same place to get the Christmas tree every year, and then we come back home, we put Christmas films on and we decorate it. Carl does the lights and he won't let me touch it until the lights are all in the right places.
Aww.
He is his mother's son in that regard, because I can imagine Julie Tracy doing the same thing. But he's like, no, it's like, he hates it when the wires like are visible. He's like, you gotta get right in. I'm like, okay, you do light coordination, and then I'll just go and stick everything else on. So we have our own traditions that we will hopefully carry on with children, but I'm like, there's nothing to stop us from building those traditions in the here and now, and they're still important.
Yeah,
you know, even if they don't involve a child, they're still as important as our friends that do have children.
Yeah, definitely.
We had a little question.
Yeah, really good question.
A really good question, which kind of relates, because it's about kind of comparison with friends, when friends get pregnant, etc. And there's a lot of that, a lot of like living side by side with those that have what you don't have yet.
Yeah.
Or have what you desperately want.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is quite relevant, because there's a lot of reminders of that. But we got a question from a unicorn.
I know, a real life unicorn.
A real life unicorn. Guys, if you haven't listened to our other episode, our second episode, which you should have, a unicorn is someone who, well, I think we coined this.
Yeah, we've created this, but since then people have said, oh, unicorn. I'm like, that, just so you know, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
And we've made that up.
I think we've made it up.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. We refer to unicorns as people who were going to do IVF and then they get pregnant straight before IVF. There's another type of unicorn that have one baby through IVF and then they get pregnant really quickly the second time naturally.
Yeah.
Because we think they're mythical beings, and we know that we've heard of them. They're like an urban myth. But
They do exist.
Yeah. But they're very rare.
Yeah.
So they're unicorns. And we've heard from a unicorn.
Woohoo!
A lovely
unicorn.
I will keep her anonymous. But the general gist, I'll give you the pre kind of, you know, question.
Mm.
And this person wrote a lovely email and said that they were really, you know, struggling for their first child, and went through a lot of time and a lot of stuff to get there, was at the point of almost doing IVF and then got pregnant. And then actually went on to have another one very easily.
Oh, was that was naturally, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So yeah, double
so
unicorn.
So double unicorn.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're super happy for you.
We really are.
We really are.
We don't want anyone going through this.
It is such a... I was like, oh, you are spared. Yeah. So yeah, we joke a bit. But yeah, a lovely story. And it was a really sensitive question that she sent in. She said, my question to you both is, how can I check in with those on the journey? So friends of hers that are still trying, still don't have their children, that might be doing IVF and that are TTC. Because when you are TTC, you do connect with a lot of people, don't you, in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
How can I check in with them in a sensitive way? And what language should I use or not use when speaking to them? I don't want them to feel like I'm putting pressure on them. nor do I want them to think I've forgotten what they are going through. I feel like my messages and offers to talk may be getting repetitive, and I genuinely want to be there for them, but worry they may not think that. I do post pictures of my kids on social media because I am a proud and grateful mama. I love that she said grateful.
Mm.
That's really lovely. Mm. I mean, all parents are grateful, but that was a really nice way of putting it. I'm worried this could come across as insensitive. Am I overthinking this? So,
oof, tricky.
First of all, the fact that she's asking these questions means she's a lovely friend.
And also, I love that she said about the language, because yeah. I know lots of people say, oh, I just said that, but language is important.
Really important. I would say the best thing I've heard, and it wasn't my situation, but that I've heard secondhand that someone has said, do you mind me saying that it's one of your friends?
Yeah, one of my friends.
Yeah, one of your friends said, I know it's not fair. And that was a really, I was like, you told me that. And I was like, phew. I was like, I've never heard a person who has succeeded in their having their children acknowledge how unfair it is. I feel like it's always us saying, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Whereas the ones that are going, it's not fair. But like, that's quite powerful. But just saying, I know there's nothing fair in this.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. I think it's about acknowledging the other person's or people, your friend's pain. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And I think so often it feels tempting, I should think,
yeah,
to kind of bypass it and go, oh, you know, I'm really sorry about this, but let's not talk about it. Let's think about something else. Or, you know, I know someone who's done this. Or look at me. It worked for me. It will happen for you. And all of those things I know are an attempt to relate or to be positive. But actually, they can be really hard and harmful, I think. And actually, just to say, look, I'm here for you. If you don't want me to be around as much, I'm okay with that. I'm here when you want me.
Yeah.
I think that's all you can really do. And to check, I think I know it's really it can be a pain, especially if they're not responding, but checking in.
Yeah. See, I get the feeling that from this question, she says, I feel like my messages and offers to talk may be getting repetitive. I feel like maybe her friends aren't, who are still TTC, aren't coming back with anything. I feel like maybe she's not getting responses. But which is hard, but I'd still keep sending those messages, you know.
Me too.
I'd still keep, as long as it doesn't feel perfunctory and kind of, you know, I'm
a greetings card.
I'm ticking it off on my list, like check in with friend who is struggling to have a baby, etc.
Yeah.
As long as it's in a genuine and meaningful way each time, you know, I've got a friend, a really close friend that has been through really, really tough things, and I never get a reply to the messages I send. I always send them every now and again, just, hey, I don't ask questions. I don't say, how are you? What's going on? Da, da, da. I go, oh, hey, I was just thinking about this, and it made me think of you, and, you know, I hope you're doing all right, sending you lots of love, and I never get a reply. And it used to bother me, but I have a greater understanding of what that is about now, and I know that's not about me. And I met this friend a few months ago for a lunch, and she was like, and again, this wasn't a TTC thing, so this friend was going through something different, and she just said, oh, I always know that you're there, like I always feel your presence. So sometimes it's just about being around, and your friends who are TTC and struggling will know that you're there, and they'll know the door's open.
I think that's exactly right. And I think I know it's kind of probably disheartening not getting any responses, but I just urge you to continue doing them, because one day they will respond.
Yeah. And also, sometimes I find like social media is, you know, has its drawbacks, but the benefits of social media are, if they're on social media, and if you're on social, I think this person is, because she said she posts a picture of her kids. Like, I love just getting like a heart emoji on my Instagram story.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, just, or a, you know, heart eyes emoji, or like a little reply to Instagram stories or a little like of the post, I feel like that can also indicate a presence.
Yeah, or even like a little response being like, oh, thinking of you, or like, oh, yeah, that must be hard, I hope you're okay, or think, you know, just little things.
Yeah.
And I was going to say as well, in terms of this person talking about, you know, posting things, you know, you can't censor yourself. Like, you've yeah. got to live your life. You can't, what are you going to, you know, you've got your children, you should be proud. Like, yeah. you can't, what can you do about that? But just, you know, for those on the other side of it, if you are really struggling to look at all of these things, you can mute people.
Yeah, and also I think it takes a really kind friend to go, do you, like, if you, to say to someone struggling, if you want to take me off your feed right now, that's fine. If you want to delete, block, and make it clear that you know it's not a reflection of your real life friendship.
Yeah.
That's important. But you can't stop posting pictures of your gorgeous kids, because, like, and again, like she says, this person says, she's such a grateful mum. Mm. That's amazing. That's lovely. Mm. But yeah, it can be hard. But, you know, I think as long as there's an awareness there, and I think just by asking these questions, she already sounds like such a sensitive friend.
I was actually going to say as well, actually, one thing that is quite a nice thing to do is to maybe just say, you know, Merry Christmas. I know that this is probably really difficult for you right now, but I just want to let you know that I'm here, and if there's something you want me to do, or if you want me to support you in some way, whatever that is, I'm here, and I'm happy for you to tell me what that is, because sometimes people don't know how to support.
They don't know, but sometimes, because I've had people say that to me, like, let me know how I can support you, which is really kind, but I can't think of anything. I'm like,
that's true.
I don't know. But, like, sometimes just doing things and not asking, what can I do? Just do something. Just, yeah. I don't know. I've got check one.
It. Go on.
I've got a really good one.
Yeah.
When someone says, like, let me know how I can support you, one of the easiest ways you can support someone, and this is to anyone, if you've got a friend going through fertility treatment, one of the easiest ways, when they say to you, oh, I've got a, you know, our next big appointment or our follow-up appointment on the 10th of October, write it down. Go, when was that, did you say? 10th? Okay, right, cool. Make a note in your phone. Just, like, put it in your notes or put it in your calendar, write it in your diary, like, Sian appointment. And then, obviously, I will check in with you because we're going through the same thing.
Yeah.
But it takes a really kind friend to be able to, on that day, just text and be like, no, it was your big appointment today. Hope it went all right. Because, like, very, and no slight on my friends, they're all wonderful, but very few people have thought to do that because I think they just haven't thought of it.
Yeah.
But that's the easiest thing you can do. Make a note of when the appointments are and drop them a little message or a little card. It's hard when it's things like the 2-week wait and test dates and stuff. Maybe leave that well alone. But if you know they're going in for a follow-up or they're going in for a consultation, there's no harm in just going, I know it was a big day for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, actually, it's Christmas. Yeah. There's me. All the gifts, please.
Yeah, just send them some presents. Send them some presents that is not to do with trying to have a baby.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I do have a friend who's like, I've got you a present. And that's really cute. I mean, you don't have to do this. I feel really bad now.
Guys, just buy us presents.
Oh, a pity presents. Yeah. No, we're all right.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I think that's a nice thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things like that. Speaking of presents and
presents,
I've got your little gift.
I've got you a little gift.
Ooh. This is my little gift to you.
Okay, shall I do mine first? Shall I open yours first and then you open mine?
Although this is kind of, I've just realised that this isn't really a gift. I'm just going to give it to you anyway.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
It's just something else.
Don't apologise for it. It's fine.
Because I had it, so I
also, Sian's is really lovely, beautifully presented. Is there a card in there?
Yeah.
I didn't get you a card.
Can I just say, this is the first anyone's ever told me that my wrapping is beautifully presented.
It's so nice.
Well, it's not really.
Well, the fact that Sian turned up at my house, I went, I've got your present, it's not wrapped. I've got to go upstairs and wrap it. And then I didn't even have Christmas wrapping paper. So it's you're just lovely. Lucky that it doesn't say happy birthday, but I went for the hearts instead.
This isn't Christmas either.
Okay, I'll open this first.
Okay, well that's not really a gift. It's I'm just that I had an extra one. So I can't really say that that's a gift. I just thought well, Sean, it's a bit of a boring one.
Stop talking yourself down.
Okay, fine. Right.
It's
I just thought it might, I don't know.
This is a gift.
Oh, is it? It's only because I had an extra one.
Vitamin D3 oral spray. Oh, this is the Zeta West supplements.
I went to town and I bought some.
This is bougie.
It is bougie.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I thought I had another one.
That will. This is going to make it work.
Sadly, I'm not sure.
Shall I open this one then?
Yeah, you go for it. Yeah.
Should I do the card first?
Yeah, go for the card. Yeah.
It says, ASMR. Dearest Carl and Catherine and Sweep. Well, actually it says it's Catherine, Carl and Sweep. As if you'd address it to Carl. Dearest Carl. No, it says Dearest Catherine, Carl and Sweep. Happy Christmas and a happy new year. Thank you for your kindness and support. Aww. It honestly means the world. Oh my God. Like, stop. I've not cried through this episode yet. So don't start me. Fingers crossed for Jan. And who knows where we might be this time next year. Love you, Sean. Love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Love you, my little
Christmas carol. Oh, that is so cute. Aww. I haven't got you a card.
Oh my God, don't worry.
I've got another present.
Yeah, just a little thing.
Yours is probably going to be way nicer than what I've got you.
Oh my God, it's literally just a little token, really, honestly. And also, you edit the podcast, you and Carl, so I feel like you really owe it.
What is this? Bath and shower oils. This is aromatherapy essential bath and shower oils. This is lovely.
Now,
I love it.
I have to say, which one do I love? I love the deep relax. And what you do before you get in the bath, you lather it in your hands and then you put it all over your décolletage. And then you get in the bath and it smells heavenly and it's just lovely.
Lovely. That's probably really good for sleeping as well.
Yeah. I love it.
Really good. Thank you so much. No problem. Mine is not as bougie as yours.
Oh my God, it doesn't, honestly, it's just a little
bit. I hope you like it.
I'm sure I will. Okay. It's got lovely love heart paper, listeners.
Christmas love hearts.
Yeah. I love a little bubble wrap.
It's bubble wrap.
Can I just say, I love bubble wrap?
That's your present.
That's a present in itself.
No, it's a...
I knew you were going to do something so... I love it. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
For the listener.
Okay, so basically it's a glass, beautifully, intricately decorated pineapple bauble.
It's a pineapple bauble to hang on your tree.
It's beautiful.
Do you have a tree yet?
Not yet. No, we actually do. We have it. It's just because we're living in an Airbnb, everybody. We are moving back.
Your house reno is nearly done, right? So
it's nearly done. I feel so...
Are you going to have a tree in your house?
Yes, we are. Okay. We do actually have one. It's not a real one.
So I was like, what if she doesn't have a tree?
No, we do. We are putting it up and it will probably be like on Christmas Eve.
Okay. I hope it goes with your... colour scheme. Also, I can't decide if it's cute or really tacky.
Oh my God, I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I love it.
Because those of you who don't know, the pineapple is a symbol of fertility and has become a bit of a symbol of IVF.
Yeah.
And a bit of a symbol of hope. I think there are some myths that say that eating a lot of pineapple can make you fertile.
I've been through that phase.
Yeah. Oh yeah, same. but it's more that a pineapple wears a tall crown and is, you know.
I love that.
And is regal and majestic like us.
It is.
So it can be a symbol of hope on your tree for this year. And then hopefully next year or eventually it will be a symbol of a reminder of what we've been through.
Aww.
And I know there's going to be some pineapple on the tree people out there. There's going to be a lot of people in the pineapple on the tree club.
Definitely. And
I've got one as well.
Go on.
I've got a pineapple. Yeah, but I took it off my tree and I hid it so that you wouldn't see it when you came in.
Oh, because I definitely wouldn't know.
Yeah, you would have been like, oh my God, you got a pineapple. So I wanted it to be a surprise.
Okay, you have to show me after this where it is.
I'll put it back. I'll put it back on the tree.
And then the secondary gift, I love bubble wrap.
ASMR. Can you hear that?
Honestly, I find that such a stress reliever.
Well, I feel like we've been on a real journey in this episode.
We really have.
It's been, we've laughed, we've cried, nearly.
Actually, we've not properly cried.
That's
today.
Good.
We've got emosh, but we've not actually shed. It's because it's Christmas,
it's Christmas,
right?
Isn't it? Cheers to that.
And also, we've got plenty of that tears probably, hopefully not.
No.
No, as in like, we're going to be emotional in January.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be. Look how many hormones we're going to be injecting.
Yeah. Yay! And a happy new year!
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it down.
No, you didn't at all, you didn't. This has been fun. Yeah. Thanks for coming to my Christmas episode.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Could we just say that if anyone's got any questions, again, please email us.
You can email us at...
Is it ivfbffpod@gmail.com?
It is! Woohoo! Well done. ivfbffpod@gmail.com. And Sian, what's the Instagram?
Oh God, now you've got me. ivfbffpod.
ivfbffpod on Instagram. At ivfbffpod. Like, give us a follow, join in, DM us. We love it. We love a chat, don't we?
Oh, we love it.
We love chatting.
Love hearing from you. We'd love to know about how you're spending your Christmases.
Yeah, and I hope everyone's all right. Sending you big, big old hugs. And just remember, if times get tough, just ask Auntie Ethel about the menopause. She'll love it.
She will. She'll love it. That. Yeah.
Yeah, hope you're okay, guys.
Yeah, we hope you're all right. And look, even if you kind of just, Christmas is a bit of a write-off for you. It's only one day a year. It's next year.
It's a day. Put your pyjamas on.
Yeah.
And
have a bath.
Yeah, have a bath with these beautiful oils.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put them on the Insta.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Merry Christmas.